The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
You know, yesterday we were talking on this program about what can happen if Saban Lee starts getting hot for Vanderbilt. Tennessee could just be in a world of trouble. Saban Lee drops 18 last night in the four-point Vanderbilt loss, but he wasn't Jordan Wright. He wasn't Jordan Wright. Where did this guy come from last night? Jordan Wright, he has 23 last night to lead the way for Vanderbilt.
Previous career high was 11.
There it is. Commodores now 1-12 in SEC play. Vols hit the 65-61 victory. You heard all the action right here on your home for Tennessee Athletics, 99.1, the Sports Animal. Tyler Ivins, Will West, Eric Kane will hand things off to you. I will tell you, there are some alarming things about last night. And boy, oh boy, if you heard when Alyssa Lang stopped Rick Barnes on the way to the locker room after the first 20 minutes to be a fly on the wall. But it was enough for Tennessee to get the W, and now they can shift their focus to Auburn on Saturday.
Yeah, Tennessee came from behind and then had to hold on. We're ahead by, what was it? I want to say 13, 14 with a couple minutes left.
And they then had Vanderbilt, a 61-48 victory.
Vanderbilt, Vanderbilt came back, cut it within two, and then Jordan Bowden goes to free throw line. And Tennessee gets the win, though, improves to 7-6 in SEC play. 15 turnovers. Obviously, that's what Rick Barnes is talking about at halftime with Alyssa Lang. And he talked about it again post-game on the turnovers, on being frustrated, and on two former players that came back and talked to the team because, you know, Rick Barnes ultimately was at a loss of words last night.
That's two games in a row. We've gotten 10 turnovers from a point guard and a post players, and those two guys combined with it. You can't do it. You can't. And you just keep digging yourself a hole to where you almost have to be perfect. And nobody thinks you can play this game perfectly. And I am frustrated because I think we're better than what, and I think we should be better than what other people might think. And we're not going to lower our standard. You know, I had Admiral Schofield and Lamonte both talk to him after tonight because I was upset at halftime. I was upset at the end of the game. And I thought those guys hit him with some good things. And it's important that they understand it and understand that they've got to do it now. And they were in the same situation as Admiral and those guys were when they were sophomores, and they went through it. They found a way to break through. This team's got to find a way to break through.
That was Rick Barnes post game. The Volunteers turned it over 15 times, and a couple things to point out. Vescovi again turned it over 6 times with 7 assists. John Fulkerson, very quiet first half, end of the game with 17 points. Jordan Bowden, very active first half, again, ended with 17 points. So Tennessee, at the end of the day, got it done, but it went without some fireworks at the end.
Santiago Vescovi is the most exciting guy, in my opinion, on the floor. But when he's not taking care of the basketball, man, does Tennessee struggle. Because then they get put into situations, Will, where they have to make poor shot selection. And a lot of it is Vescovi off the wing, Vescovi off a pick and roll. And he has to take looks that sometimes he's forcing up shots. I mean, you can't keep having 8 turnover nights by Vescovi and then have him go 1-7 from 3.
Yeah.
Or 2-8 from 3. Now, those weren't the numbers, but that's essentially what Vescovi's doing whenever he's turning the basketball over.
Yeah, so, well, Rick Barnes is always going to be especially tough on point guards. And if you ever talk to any point guards that played for Rick Barnes, they will always say Rick Barnes is especially tough on point guards. People around college basketball, what'd they say about Bone last year? Well, Rick Barnes is especially tough on point guards. Yes. He's going to make you better, though, and almost all of his point guards play in the NBA. So if Vescovi can listen and do what he says, and he seems to be really receiving this well instead of it getting him down. I thought at times last year it seemed like this guy, it got boned down a little bit. Not a ton, but just a little bit. And if Vescovi can start now where he has to learn to take care of the basketball, let's remember Vescovi wasn't supposed to play this year for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So if he gave you anything, it was gravy at that point. And instead he's having to go out there and be an integral player and maybe be one of your top 2 or 3 players in your rotation instead of being the 9th man in your rotation, 10th man in your rotation. So he's going to get better, but these mistakes, you kind of have to expect them. But Rick Barnes is holding him accountable, and he seems to be responding to that accountability.
Santiago Vescovi said post-game, this is the first time he's ever seen Rick Barnes angry after a win. And he said, I understand it, though. I had some sloppy turnovers there at the end. I was very, very tired. He played a team-high 38 minutes. And again, at Will, as you pointed out, wasn't here in the offseason, wasn't here in the preseason, wasn't here for the first 3-4 weeks of the season. guy wasn't supposed to play, and he's leading the team in minutes pretty much on a consistent basis. So, in the day, Tennessee gets the win over Vanderbilt, 65-61. We'll head to the Plains and take on Auburn on Saturday. One more note I want to mention in this report. Trey Smith, the Jason Witten Collegiate Man
Good
of the
for
Year.
Him.
Was in, was it Dallas? Anyway, he accepted that award last night wearing a cowboy hat. And also, congratulations to Trey Smith, a great representation of the University of Tennessee. Today's UT basketball practice reports brought to you by Pools by Heritage. You can get your pool started now from design to construction to maintenance. One call can do it all. Call Pools by Heritage, 947-7527, or visit online at poolsbyheritage.com.
You're just saying that because he's wearing a cowboy hat.
What, representing Tennessee? We're talking about it off air. Like now, I haven't been here long, and Will, you've been covering this market for quite some time. You know, two guys, Grant and Trey Smith, they just embody everything you want in a representation of Tennessee from a student.
Yeah, they're incredible representatives for the school, and that's you're right. That's what you want out of that. It's another reason why, and I already hate freedom of movement. I think it's bad for the NBA. I don't like it as an NBA fan. But man, I just look at Grant Williams would be an all-star back in the day.
No.
Like if you had real basketball rules in the NBA, Grant Williams would be an all-star. But he's finding a way to create a spot for himself, and that's what you have to do in the NBA now is you got to go find a way to create a spot for yourself. Grant's doing that, but he's been a great representative for Tennessee.
Just like everything you do on and off the field and just the personality. I mean,
well, it's okay. So they understand the responsibility and to them, that is a responsibility that they have to have. And they're serious about it. And so that's why you want those guys on your team. It's why the Celtics didn't need a Grant Williams on their team, but I'll find a place for a Grant Williams on my team because I want that there. Same thing goes with Trey Smith, right? I want a Trey Smith on my team. That was my first executive order when we had the conversation about Mayer was that Trey has to become a New York Giant. So
this is really big of him to sit here and give Trey all these compliments after he got smoked in a wing-eating contest a couple weeks back.
Yeah, I did get smoked. And again,
but then he had Trey
big
Smith
fan of Trey.
Didn't win.
He should not. He did win. Glenn Jacobs finished before he did. About 15 seconds before he
wasn't
did.
There, but that's what I was
sitting there watching the whole
team player. Thanks for being a team player that day, by the way. We're a team of three, and you were nowhere to be found.
Literally, for this to be a three-way partnership right here, didn't know about it at all. So I don't know if that's more on me or on you guys.
I can't even get him to return my rain boots to me so he can get his Christmas gift.
Also, we promoted it on the air.
It's February 19th. He still hasn't got his Christmas gift.
You guys promoted it on the air. Spewing out that garbage.
More than 6,000 books got donated because of the listeners hearing us talk about what was going on. Yeah, you didn't know.
That's Will West, Tyler Ivan, 656-9900. Kaner, if you waste all your breath talking now, then you can't do a Tennessee Lottery sports update. It's on your radio now.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery sports minute.
Tennessee's football, Trey Smith named the 2020 Jason Witten Collegiate Man of the Year. Volunteer offensive lineman beat out two other finalists, Air Force quarterback Isaiah Sanders, USC wide receiver Michael Pittman. Tennessee baseball, an 8-2 winner over Charlotte on Tuesday afternoon. Zach Daniels tallied three hits, drove in three runs during the win. Latest update on NASCAR's Ryan Newman. Say the 2008 Daytona 500 winner is awake and speaking with family and friends at Halifax Medical Center in Daytona. Newman wrecked on the final lap of Monday's race and was rushed to the hospital nearly 2 hours later on Monday night. NASCAR came out with a statement saying he was in serious but non-life-threatening conditions in the hospital. So that's good news there for Ryan Newman. Elsewhere around college basketball, top-ranked Baylor down Oklahoma 65-54. Fifth-ranked Dayton beat VCU 66-61. And number 7 Maryland beat Northwestern 76-67. Saints quarterback Drew Brees coming back for his 20th season. Former Panthers tight end Greg Olsen headed to Seattle. Special edition Jumbo Bucks Instant Games from the Tennessee Lottery are hot off the press. Play today for your chance to win $300,000. It's 7:12. We're going to check out the roads. Pete Michaels traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
I know this is Will's Wednesday playlist, but it's all Grohl all day.
All Grohl all day. Foo Fighters coming in April. Tickets on sale Friday.
I'm a big fan of this. I know it's just a Wednesday thing because it's your chance to pick the playlist, but I'm a big fan of this. So if this wanted to make its way back into the rotation, just maybe a couple of more Dave Grohl songs, I wouldn't argue. I wouldn't put up a fight. One thing is for sure, though. We want to start hearing from a lot more of the local artists here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Can I give a shout out to somebody real quick? There's a gentleman who reached out to me yesterday on my Instagram. I say yesterday, but maybe I just read his message for the first time yesterday. His name is Joe Jackson. He listens to the show daily. Joe, shout out to you. Thanks for reaching out to me there. That's Instagram at Tyler Ivins. And Joe says, listen, I'm a big fan of the show. I listen to your all's rock music, the rejoins that you guys have. I actually do instrumental rock songs. He's like, I'd love it if you guys would play a couple of joints that I have. I listened to his stuff yesterday on Spotify. Dude.
Was it good? Really?
I can shred.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, Joe, this is what I'm going to do. Next week, we're going to start sprinkling in a couple of your rock songs if you're a local artist here in town.
Yeah, so one thing that we will get going coming up soon is Local Lunes, which means on Mondays, if you are a local artist, we will play nothing but local music on Mondays, and we'll drop that playlist out there on Spotify as well, so the different everybody, all the listeners have an opportunity to this say, okay, big. This is new local stuff that we'll have a chance for you to listen to.
We're local. You listen to us. Yeah. We'd like for you to be local, and we want to listen to you.
So hit us up on social media with how we can find you on Spotify or something like that. Or if you have a website that has your music on it, hit us up on social media, and we'd love to be able to play your music as part of our bumpers here on the starting lineup.
All right, Guillermo, the ACC announced Monday that it supports a proposal from the Big Ten that would allow undergraduate student athletes in all sports to transfer once without sitting out of competition for 1 year. The current rule mandates that the undergraduate transfers in football, men's basketball, women's basketball, baseball, and hockey must receive a waiver from the NCAA to be eligible immediately. Players in the remaining sports are allowed to transfer without sitting out. So, your thoughts now that the ACC is following the same suit that the Big Ten is?
The biggest thing, too, is one, the ACC's done it. Two, if you don't know what the NCAA working group is, I know that sounds like jargon.
Sure.
That's how things get done in the NCAA, is the working group will suggest something, and then the NCAA does it. Well, the NCAA's working group yesterday, based on four parameters, they have recommended that every player, as soon as August, be able to transfer one time without having any restrictions. And Mark Richt was up in arms about this yesterday, because what really matters here is that multimillionaire coaches are slightly inconvenienced. Also, I remind you that Mark Richt didn't even finish out a full recruiting cycle at Miami before he decided to hang it up. But it would allow every college athlete to transfer one time without facing a penalty. So Aubrey Solomon would be able to come into Tennessee one time, and he'd be done. He'd be able to do it without the penalty. I know that people get concerned that there's going to be free agency in college football, college basketball. There kind of already is. College basketball, a lot of the best players are sent places by shoe companies. College football, once Joe Burrow gets drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals, the last 3 years drafts, number one overall pick was a transfer quarterback. And so it's about letting these kids get the best thing that's there, do the best thing, the thing that's in their best interest. And the knife's going to cut both ways, right? Because on the one hand, Aubrey Solomon is going to be able to be cleared immediately.
Right.
On the other hand, Jalen Hurd's going to be able to walk away and just be done right then, as long as he's in academic standing.
Ward Manuel, the athletic director at Michigan, says that he believes it's the right thing to do. Quote, I don't know who's going to freak out and who's not going to freak out. That doesn't come to my thinking about it. But he says we have five sports that are not allowed to transfer in this day and age. That's something that we need to fix. We need to give all young people flexibility to transfer once, and they transfer a second time. There is no waiver.
So here's the thing. One, it's going to happen.
It's so murky.
It needs to happen.
It's so murky because you see people like Tate Martell and Justin Fields and all these high-profile quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, transferring out of their programs, and apples and oranges.
Tate Martell, you brought in transfer quarterbacks to beat him.
Sure.
You brought him in as a transfer, then you brought in other transfer quarterbacks to beat them. I mean, Tennessee continues to bring in transfer quarterbacks,
right?
This is the way that you recruit in this day and age, is I need to recruit over my quarterback, over my quarterback, over my quarterback. And that means that if a kid's not going to play football, most of these kids aren't going to the NFL. So they're in college to be able to play football. Justin Fields, it was the right move for Georgia to continue to start Jacob Eason over him. And it was the right move for Justin Fields to go somewhere else. It was the right move for JT Barrett to start at Ohio State. And for Joe Burrow to go to LSU. All of these were the right moves.
So the NCAA has already announced that they are not going to hear any transfer-related proposals during this academic year. So does that mean we don't see this be implemented until 21-22?
August is what they're saying. That's what
So they're wanting to hear it, get it over with, push it through, and be done.
Yep.
Well, then here's my thing. What's Mark Richt all up in arms about? This is an opportunity for everybody to be happy. Now, granted, it's going to turn into free agency, which a lot of people have already warned is what's going to happen. Nick Saban being a second. It just seems like this is going to work out for everybody. What is everybody afraid of?
Coaches are free agents. Yeah, that's what I don't understand. What do you care? What are you afraid of?
Exactly.
If it really is student first, athlete second, then what do you care? And again, for the very, 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 very vast majority of kids, it's for one, a chance to go play football because they're not playing where they're currently at. It's number two, it's about academic. Like, I don't have this major here. I can get this major there. And it's going to be about that and about the student experience. I could go transfer school to school and continue to do this for a living if I wanted to.
Right.
Well, Logan Ward that's here. He goes to MTSU. If Logan was getting more on-air opportunities and things like that, Logan could transfer to UT, continue to do this, the broadcasting stuff that's going to set him up for when he gets, once he gets his diploma. And so those are the things that you look at that's where the majority of kids that are going to be affected that this is going to affect. Are they going to be the Joe Burrows? Yes. Are they going to be the Jalen Hurts? Yes. Are they going to be Tate Martell's? Yes. But right now, for the most part, that's worked out for just about everybody, hasn't it? Like, has anybody been hurt except Kevin Sumlin from guys transferring at this point?
Immediately, I ask, how is this going to blow up in somebody's face?
Who?
Just the players, coaches. Eventually, somebody's going to get really upset about this and really hurt, and somebody's going to go and try to scream and kick and cry.
Those are two different things. Somebody pitching a fit and somebody actually having this blow up in their face are two separate things.
Okay, well, then let's go down both those roads quickly. How does the NCAA play devil's advocate here, or at least the pro cons list they draw up?
What will happen is they have to be given an eligibility waiver. What you're going to see is you're going to see coaches not give the transfer waiver. And that is according to the NCAA. And they want to do this in D.C. at the place where lawmakers are wearing them out right now. And they may end up having to pay money.
Sure.
Start paying salaries to players or stipends to players. And that means getting workman's comp insurance for them. And they don't want that. So this is a way to do. And when they're talking about doing this is in the meetings coming up that are in D.C. in front of Congress and to appease Congress so that they don't get worn out. What you'll see is you'll see coaches decide, I'm not going to give a player a transfer waiver because I want him to stay. And at the end of the day, that what will happen is what we see now when a coach doesn't get a transfer waiver where a guy can go on scholarship, but he does have to sit. The media will shame him, and that person will decide, okay, I'm going to give them the transfer waiver after just getting bludgeoned by the media. That's what's going to happen with this, and that's how this blows up and turns into something. Now, let's be very, very real. When you don't see, and I've been told this by numerous, if I said these names, you would know NFL-level college football players from different schools. The reason that coaches don't give a transfer waiver is they say a lot of it. Well, our boosters gave your mama this. And your mom's been living in this house. You're from Pensacola, Florida. And you've been living in this house owned by a local dentist in Birmingham, Alabama. And she was in the projects in Pensacola. And now she's in a very nice subdivision. And you're playing football for us. So I'm not going to give you this transfer waiver because we've already given you this money.
Right.
So that's why they don't want to give the transfer waiver. For the most part. And so that's where it's because of the black market that you don't see that. But what happens at the end of the day is the media will publicly shame that coach and that coach will change their mind.
At Will West, WNML, at Tyler Ivins, 5 burning questions. Can yours truly do something Tennessee hasn't done in over a month? That's the basketball program. And that is win back-to-back matches. 99.1, you're listening to the Sports Animal.
I don't know yet if they truly understand when you are being game planned for every single night, how hard it is to be a good player every single night.
Starting lineup returns to your radio at 99.1 AM 990.
Quick note before we get to 5 burning questions, you brought up a really good point. There are only 5 sports that we currently have the penalty where if you transfer, you sit out a year.
Right. Football, men's and women's basketball, baseball, softball, and hockey. I misspoke. It's men's and women's basketball, football, hockey, and baseball.
And those are the only 5 revenue sports that are in college athletics.
Right.
So for the ones that don't make money, let's be real. This isn't about the
kid. Come and go as you please. You don't make money.
This isn't about commitments. This isn't about anything like that. This isn't about, well, what about the coaches? This is about money at the end of the day.
The way I look at it is simple. I think we need to reach a point in time where anybody should come and go as they please, but you get one time and you better make that decision right. If a coach lies to you and says you're going to start immediately as an 18-year-old and you feel like you've been bamboozled, here's the door. But again, where it gets tricky and slippy, as you just said, you get the black market where somebody says, okay, you leave from Oklahoma to Alabama, mama no longer gets to stay in that Pensacola house anymore.
Yeah, that's the thing that is the reason why coaches don't allow players. to transfer. And they say, no, I'm going to try to block your transfer somewhere else. Because the guy can still transfer. He just can't be on scholarship while he sits out the year. So that's the one thing that's going to become the sticking point of this is you will see coaches that don't like this say, no, I'm not going to release you from your scholarship for you to be, go be on scholarship somewhere else. But what happens literally every time a coach does that, the media publicly shames them, and that coach releases the player from their scholarship.
All right, Eric Kane, looking for those back-to-backs, if you would please. This is Five Burning Questions.
Head-to-head, toe-to-toe, mono-a-mono. It's time for Five Burning Questions. Brought to you by Life Safety Inspections, saving lives one extinguisher at a time. It's not just a motto, it's how we do business.
All right, gentlemen, are you in favor of the NCAA allowing all student-athletes to transfer one time without punishment?
Yes. Look, make everybody happy, and then give coaches an out as well. You got players who say they were lied to. You have coaches who say that there were things that were not said. And then you also have the whole thing of, well, he wasn't the coach who recruited me, so I want to leave. Make everybody happy, because then you can move forward and start maybe getting to an area where a lot of college kids want to be, and that's making a little money.
Yeah, no, it's this is the right move. Coaches can move as many times as they want to without punishment. Why in the world shouldn't a player be able to do that? Scholarships are year to year that they give. SEC does give guaranteed, allow for guaranteed scholarships for players, but a player can be told you don't have a scholarship anymore the next year, and or you've got to be a walk-on, or you can get a scholarship this year but not this next year if you are a walk-on, but they can't transfer. No, this is un-American for this to happen.
Right now, who is the most exciting athlete in America, regardless of sport?
It's Mahomes, right? It is Mahomes. Football's king. Football's the number one. Football is by and far. If you take the ratings for every other sport and combine them, they don't reach football's. And Patrick Mahomes is the most electrifying act in football right now.
He's close. He's number two on my list. To me, it's still LeBron James. LeBron James, he gets on the floor. You don't know what he's going to do. Is he going to take over a game? Is he going to draw a double coverage to get somebody else wide open? LeBron James, when he's on the basketball floor, you know that he can own that game by himself from start to finish. Now with Patrick Mahomes and kind of the knee issue, you don't know if he's going to play three quarters, two quarters, anybody roll up on him. There's a better chance health-wise you're going to see LeBron longer than Pat Mahomes.
Today is actress Millie Bobby Brown's 16th birthday. Is Stranger Things the best show on television?
It's close. It's close. To me, though, when you're watching shows, do you watch Bull?
No, I've never seen that.
You're not a big fan of Bull?
I've just never seen it.
Oh, Bull is a great show. I'm a big fan of what CBS is doing there. He's an attorney. Great show. If you're looking for suspense with a little bit of carryover, cliffhangers, Bull right now, in my opinion, is the best television show.
Stranger Things to me is almost not even a television show. It's an event. I don't know that it's the best. I would say Barry's the best show on television when you just talk about the best. But when Stranger Things comes on, I will stop what I'm doing and watch the next season of Stranger Things. And tens of millions of people in America will do the same thing. So right now, I'll say, yes, it is the greatest show in America right now, if I can split the hair that way.
It's also Nuggets star Nikola Jokic's 25th birthday. Is Jokic the most underrated athlete in American sports?
He's an MVP candidate that plays in the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets are a top two seed in the Western Conference. And the very, 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 very vast majority of people listening to us have absolutely no idea who he is. He's a top five player in the NBA right now. And almost no one listening knows who he is. Yeah, I don't even think there's a close second to Nikola Jokic. The other guy I would say is Nelson Arenado. Is the number two guy that I would kind of say.
Okay, this is where I go baseball here, and nobody knows who I'm going to speak of here. Kaner, you're going to have to give me an assist here on this. If you don't know who Kirby Yates is, the closer of the San Diego Padres, then you're not watching Padre baseball. And why would you be watching West Coast Padre baseball? You get my point, right? This guy right now is about as automatic of three outs that you're getting in baseball. It's because he plays for the Padres. This year, will you know who Kirby Yates is? Probably not. The Padres will be better, but one thing's for sure. They get the lead in the ninth inning, you ain't winning that game.
I also said Nelson Arenado, not Nolan Arenado, so maybe that, because I at least know Nikola Jokic's name.
Do you view Teddy Bridgewater as a viable franchise quarterback?
Sure, but not at $30 million a year. I could move forward with Teddy Bridgewater as my quarterback, even knowing that he's one step away from his career being over. But come on, I understand we got to set the bar very high before we meet in the middle. But Teddy Bridgewater, Will West, wanting $30 million annually, you need to show yourself the door.
He ain't getting that. I do look at him as a viable option as a franchise quarterback. But if I have other options, I might take those options. You can do a lot worse, but you can probably do a lot better as well. And that means Teddy Bridgewater will carve out a very nice little career for himself. Vinny Testaverde style, if we're looking at somebody who's done this. Rich Gannon's done this over the years. Jeff Hostetler's done this. Jeff Garcia. A lot of guys have carved themselves out a career like this by bouncing around to different teams.
Just unfortunate because he wasn't on that path. I mean, he wasn't on Hall of Fame path, but he was a good starter in this league.
He's a first-round pick.
It just the injury just had to sideline. It's really unfortunate for him, but it's definitely still LeBron. Tyler, you get the win.
How many LeBron games y'all watch this year?
A couple.
Plenty.
A couple.
How many Patrick Mahomes game y'all watch this year?
Plenty.
Yeah.
I'm just letting you know, man.
Listen, I mean, I agree with you. Football is the most exciting. Football's king. I get all that, but LeBron is still...
I would make the argument that LeBron, what has held LeBron back in the eyes of a lot of people is LeBron isn't particularly exciting. It's an ugly game a little bit that LeBron plays. But I will say defensively, it can be, if you include what he does defensively, it can be exciting, especially in a big-time game. It can be exciting to watch LeBron take over a game. So I will give you that.
My thing is this. I mean, I'm not an NBA guy. I mean, of course, it's what drives our shows that month in the summer, so I have to watch it. But getting people like me, yeah, I know, getting people like me to turn in just because LeBron's playing, I'm going to watch every NBA playoff game.
I'll admit, I deserve the L for calling him Nelson Arenado instead of Nolan Arenado. Would you take, am I wrong to say it's either Nolan Arenado or Paul Goldschmidt that 75% of the people listening right now couldn't pick them out of a lineup, but they're unbelievably exciting when they're at the plate.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Is it those two guys, or is there somebody else you throw in the equation?
I mean, there's probably other guys there. I mean, I think more people know Arenado. I don't think hardly anybody that listens would know who Goldschmidt is.
No, I don't think they could pin out another guy who's on the trade block right now. It's funny because we're just grouping them together. I don't know if anybody can point out Francisco Lindor. That as well.
Yeah.
Bone to pick with you, by the way.
Yeah.
Going out to get my mail yesterday in the cul-de-sac.
Okay.
Neighbor who listens to the show every day, shout out to Gary, goes, hey, when you guys do that Five Burning segment, what's that song near rock music you play? And I said, what's the band called Steel Panther? Why? He goes, you weren't in the show on Friday. Will said your music was garbage.
Yeah, your music's garbage. So that's okay. Play your garbage music.
Remind
play
me
your hair metal.
Remind me, real quick, hit Will's Wind music. Can you explain to me who this is?
Yeah.
Who is this?
New Politics.
Okay. And play mine real quick. This is Steel Panther right here. Is it really? Hit a little guitar riff here. Wait. There's a big draw.
Fine. It's fine.
Are you going to force me to go in the office after the show's over and really crank up my new wind music? I will debut new wind music if I have to.
Will you? Okay. I've also got, I think I got Beastie Boys in there as well. I've got some, you know what I mean? Like, nothing against Steel Panther. It's fine. This is actually solid. Because it reminds me of the Transformers animated movie, and I get excited about that.
Chip bringing you another W for yours truly here during Five Burning Questions.
LSITN.com for life safety inspections. Anything to do with fire suppression systems, they are the ones to call. That means fire suppression systems like cells, service installations, they're even licensed inspectors, and fire extinguishers. Most likely there's fire extinguishers in your home or in your business, have a 30% fail rate. Life safety inspections will get you into an American-made model with a 0.001% fail rate that is less expensive.
Don't look now, but just ahead of the NFL Combine, Mel Kiper Jr. says that Tua Tagovailoa could be going to the Detroit Lions at number 3.
Mel Kiper Jr. also says that's his real hair, so there's that.
41,000 passing yards, 256 passing touchdowns. Is it time for the Lions to move on from Matt Stafford? And how many quarterbacks could we see go in the top 5? Lots to get into just a week ahead of the NFL Combine on the other side. 99.1, you're listening to the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Tennessee held off a late Vanderbilt charge to down the Commodore 65-61 Tuesday night inside TBA thanks to a couple of big free throws from Jordan Bowden.
I thought JB was really solid. I mean, those two free throws are huge free throws, man. They got the ability to go down and get a three. And
John Fulkerson and Bowden led the way with 17 points apiece. Tennessee has won 6 straight in the series. Volunteers' Trey Smith has been named the 2020 Jason Witten Collegiate Man of the Year Award. The Volunteers' lineman beat out 2 other finalists, Air Force quarterback Isaiah Sanders and USC wide receiver Michael Pittman. Tennessee baseball, an 8-2 winner over Charlotte Tuesday afternoon. Zach Daniels, 3 hits, 3 runs driven in. Latest on NASCAR's Ryan Newman, say the 2008 Daytona 500 winner is awake and speaking with family and friends at Halifax Medical Center in Daytona. Newman wrecked on the final lap of Monday's race and was immediately rushed to the hospital. Around the NFL, Saints quarterback Drew Brees announced he'll return for his 20th NFL season, and former Panthers tight end Greg Olsen has agreed on a reported 1-year, $7 million deal with with the Seahawks. Also of note, VFL tight end Jason Witten said he wants to play next season, but acknowledged it might not be with the Dallas Cowboys. Special edition Jumbo Bucks Instant Games from the Tennessee Lottery are hot off the press. Play today for your chance to win up to $300,000. 7:44, get a check of the roads. Pete Michaels traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
That's two games in a row. We've gotten 10 turnovers from a point guard and a post players, and those two guys combined with it. You can't do it. You can't. And you just keep digging.
And remember tonight on 99.1 The Sports Animal, shameless self-promotion. Starting 11, our new soccer show is going to be on from 7 to 8 o'clock. And then Inside the Cage with Vince Ferrara, going to be on at 8 o'clock. If you're a soccer fan or an MMA fan, we now have you taken care of on The Sports Animal. That was Rick Barnes. Tennessee with the win against Vanderbilt last night. Tyler Ivins.
I'm going to tell you, the more I keep watching Vols hoops this year, the more I have to keep reminding myself that I'm not allowed to come on the air the next day and be like, man, Kyle Alexander, Grant Williams, Jordan Bone, Admiral Schofield. And then what did I do last night? I watched Admiral Schofield do a 9-minute courtside interview with Alyssa Lang, and I'm just like, oh, man, Admiral Schofield. Tennessee needs to find a consistent shooter, and Jordan Bowden right now isn't that guy.
No, he's not.
And Vescovi turns the ball over too much and is having to shoot into bat. There are low percentage shots he's taking right now. And it goes back to the conversation we had at the beginning of the program, Will. I think you're spot on. I don't think you could chuck an axe and hit a target better than what you did in year hour one, and that is shot selection right now is just very, very poor for the Volunteer basketball team.
Tennessee has 7 assists and 10 three-point attempts in the first half, and it's 28-28. Tennessee in the second half, they're able to get the win. They have just 6 three-pointers attempted. They have 10 assists in that time. That's how you win basketball games. But it's tough to get young people especially to realize you can't just throw up a bajillion threes.
Right.
And it's especially against teams that are throwing up a bajillion threes.
Say that to Auburn, who made it to the Final Four, though, last year.
Yeah, well, and Auburn could shoot, though. And it's also we have a different three-point line. And Auburn throws up a bajillion threes this year. And they just rely on volume. And they could rebound some of those. And Tennessee can't. That's just not Tennessee's game. The Golden State Warriors can shoot a ton of threes. And that's okay when the Splash Brothers are there. But the Denver Nuggets don't need to do that as much. The Boston Celtics don't need to do that. The Philadelphia 76ers don't need Embiid and Ben Simmons throwing up 35 threes a game. But the Golden State Warriors can do that. So it's a matter of knowing your limitations and playing disciplined basketball on the offensive end. Because undisciplined basketball on the offensive end leads to undisciplined basketball on the defensive end way too much, especially when we talk about college-level players.
Do we already know what we know about Tennessee basketball in the final five games?
Yeah, probably.
The teams that they haven't beat are ahead of them. The teams they have beat are behind them.
Well, let's be honest. Okay, if I said realistic best case scenario for Tennessee basketball in these final five games.
Realistic. I'm glad you said that.
Realistic. Not just hopeful, but realistic. I think 3-2 realistically is the best case scenario here.
It depends on which one of those games you're going to get on the road, though.
Yeah.
Are you saying multiple games on the road, or are you trying to say multiple games at home?
In the last five, going 3-2 in this last five.
No, I'm going to stop you right there. Best chance to happen. Tennessee wins multiple games on the road and multiple games at home because the two home games are against Auburn and Florida, and the multiple road games are against Auburn, Arkansas, and Kentucky.
I think they could beat Arkansas. They can beat Florida. I think they could beat Auburn here. Not as likely, but they could beat Auburn here. So, I don't know. If I was guessing, I would say multiple road games.
So do I. Yeah. And I can't believe I'm about to say that because at one point in time, Tennessee coming to Thompson Bowling Arena, you already knew what the results were going to be.
And you have your easiest opponent during that stretch is going to be on the road. Yep. So, I mean, because this is a tough stretch, and Arkansas at one point in time was playing lights out basketball in non-conference play.
Let me stop right now. Are we poo-pooing Arkansas?
Well, I don't want to say
you just played him a couple weeks ago and you beat him by 21.
No, you should not expect a win there. You can hope for a win there.
But you got to know this is your best chance to get a win here in this stretch. And you've already played good against them. And so you kind of know how to attack them. You've had a lot of success against them this year in that one game you played that you just point out, 21-point win.
347 teams are in D1 college basketball. 347. The Volunteers currently rank 331st in points per game.
Not great.
Explain to me what's going to happen over the next five games where this smidge of hope that remains for the NCAA tournament blossoms into something ginormous and Tennessee finds a way to steamroll their way into the field of 68.
Yeah, I mean, you're hoping against hope. That's kind of what you're doing. Arkansas, let's see, they last won a game on February 1st.
Not good.
Not good.
Not good at all.
Not good at
15-1, I want to believe, was their non-conference record.
Yeah, and they've lost five straight.
Yeah.
What to say? We're doing a new segment called Betting Tips with Tyler. Is that what it is? Arkansas has hit the over in every single one of their games since the calendar flipped to 2020,
ooh,
including last night by 1 point. The over-under was 131. They totaled 132 with Florida.
Are you behind that curve now, or do you still have time?
You still have time.
Okay.
You still have time. No. To me, it's a heater. Don't get off of it. Damn. Even if you're coming early, guess what? Join me, boys. Join me. Here's my one question. Do you want to play the game? 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Ice Bears tickets on the line. If you want to start your Wednesday off on the right foot, pick up a W. Tyler Ivins, Will West. You can find us at TSL99.1 and online at 991thesportsanimal.com. Final 60 minutes. It's on the way next.